Welcome to TechNet Radio, your guide to the IT universe.
Hello and welcome back to TechNet Radio. This is our show for Tuesday, February 6th, 2007. I'm Aurora Queen. Thanks so much for joining me today. So for this show, and then also next, we're talking group policy. Today, Blaine Barton sits down with Kevin Sullivan, a lead program manager, and Jason Lesnick, senior product manager for Windows Vista, to discuss the group policy evolution in Windows Vista. They'll get into the details on Windows Vista and Longhorn Server group policy basics. And then next week, Blaine Barton will be bringing us advanced group policy management. So after that interview today, we'll have Michael Murphy as well, and he's at Launch Tour 2007, interviewing some folks who are in attendance there, and that's a fun interview. First, here's Blaine Barton with Kevin Sullivan and Jason Lesnick on TechNet Radio.
Well, welcome to TechNet Radio. I'm Blaine Barton, an IT pro evangelist here in Florida, and with me today, I'm here to discuss group policy management with Kevin Sullivan, the lead program manager for the Dynamic Systems Foundation, and Jason Lesnick, senior product manager of the Windows Vista group. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks. Well, thank you.
So let's go ahead and get started. So Jason, let's start out by discussing group policy in general.
Well, group policy is an infrastructure used to deliver and apply one or more desired configurations or policy settings to a set of targeted users and computers. This can be local group policies or, in an Active Directory environment, more of a centralized set of policies that can be deployed across the enterprise based on sites, domains, or organizational units. So they really kind of fit in with the business processes and business needs of an organization. The infrastructure consists of a group policy engine and then various client-side extensions, or CSEs, which are responsible for writing specific policy settings onto the target client computers.
Great, Jason. So, Kevin, can you explain a little bit more about what group policy objects are?
Sure. You know, it's one of those terms that really has to be picked apart a bit so that you understand what's in here. A group policy object, and we're talking mostly about the group policy objects that you would see in a network environment, not necessarily a local group policy object, they're virtual. There's a couple different components to them. There's AD data, which is referred to as the group policy container, and there's file system data stored in SysVol, which is called the group policy template. And essentially what goes on is the client system hears about what GPOs need to apply. They get that information directly from AD, and then they get a pointer to SysVol, and they say download the appropriate files and then process that. As Jason brought up, these client-side extensions actually do the work. So it's really two pieces. It's this group policy container, AD data, and then the group policy template, which is file system data.
Great, yeah. And I've also heard the term registry-based policy. Can you explain a little bit more about what is registry-based policy?
Absolutely, and it is possibly the largest chunk of group policy today. And what it refers to is essentially data in the registry that's being managed through group policy. And there are two specific pieces of the registry that we work with here. And it defines what we would refer to as true policy. An application, when it launches, knows I need to go read my configuration from a certain place in the registry. It's just sort of a normal process. In a group policy environment, it reads into this policy section of the registry, and it gets the configuration that's being managed as a matter of policy. If there's nothing there, it'll go back to its normal store and look at that. But being able to manage registry data, centrally manage the keys and the values that are in there is critical. And there's a combination of two things, going back to what Jason had said earlier. There's the client-side extension that actually writes the registry data, and then there's also a server-side snap-in. It's an MMC snap-in extension for management, so what I see in the UI, essentially.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's pretty powerful technology. It's pretty exciting. So Jason, question for you. How do you get started with group policy? Where's the best place to start?
Well, first, you should go to www.microsoft.com/group policy and read the Introduction to Group Policy white paper. And that'll give you a basic understanding of group policy and its dependencies, a lot of stuff that Kevin just went through. Next, if you don't have Windows Vista, there's also instructions on that page to download the Group Policy Management Console. You use the Group Policy Management Console, or the GPMC, to actually manage group policy objects themselves, as well as launch the editor, which will actually go into those objects and then change the settings. It ships with Windows Vista, incidentally. With over 3,000 different settings that are available now with Windows Vista, and with every operating system release, we increase the number of group policy settings that are available to you. Knowing where to begin can be challenging. So for ideas about planning how to use policy settings for specific management goals, there's actually an implementing common desktop management scenarios with Group Policy Management Console white paper and some sample templates that are there. You can examine the effects of group policy by changing the local policy object on a test PC. Or in a test domain, you can actually create GPOs and see how it affects the environment. I would not recommend learning group policy or testing new policy settings actually on a production domain. When you make your group policy settings, before you roll out into a domain, there's just some best practices. You want to make sure that you don't disable something that you want to have enabled, or you want to check to make sure that there's no unexpected results based on what you're doing. I'd also explore the spreadsheet of group policy settings. Again, this is also on that same website. This is a comprehensive list of all the settings that are available across the different versions of Windows Client and Server. This will give you a good sense of the power and the flexibility of group policy. Finally, know what you want to do. Focus on what problems you want to solve with central management and work on those areas first. There's several different resources that are available. Again, Microsoft.com/group policy is probably the best place to find those.
Excellent. And I know there's also an excellent spreadsheet on our website, policysettings.xls. You can download it. It tells you all the different policy settings that are available within both Windows XP and also with Windows Vista. That's excellent. So is there a way to kind of test drive group policy before installing it on my network?
Well, let me clarify something first. You don't actually install group policy. It's already there in every version of Windows Server and Client since Windows 2000. In fact, if you have Active Directory deployed, you're already using it because there's already some default group policy objects set for domain controllers and domain-based PCs. So there are actually some virtual labs that are available on the Microsoft TechNet Virtual Lab website. There's more than 10 different group policy virtual labs that cover basic topics such as basic administration and planning and deployment, as well as advanced topics such as processing and troubleshooting.
Excellent. So what tools do I use to manage group policy effectively?
There's a couple tools. If you're managing local policy, the policy that's on your workstation or on a kiosk, for example, that's not joined to a domain, you can launch GPEdit, and that will actually change the settings. If you're managing group policy within a domain, the Group Policy Management Console, or the GPMC, lets you actually create, link, and edit the GPOs and the settings within each GPO.
Well, thanks, Jason. And so I want to talk specifically about Windows Vista, and this question is really for Kevin. So Kevin, what is the difference with group policy in Windows Vista?
Well, that's a pretty loaded question. We've made a lot of investments here. There's a lot of functionality additions in group policy in Windows Vista. There's some work that was done on the back end to make the whole environment more efficient, more resilient. essentially, from a settings perspective, when a customer manages group policy, they now can do management of printer installations. There's a much richer experience for the Windows firewall and IP security. We have removable device management, ActiveX installation. There's quite a list of new functionality that's in there. I need to mention power management in there because that's been a very important ask from customers for quite a long time. So, there's quite a bit. Those are probably the highlights. On the back end, we sort of improved the environment or we improved the technology for multilingual environments by using what are referred to as ADMX files. And some people may be familiar with ADM. This is essentially the new evolution. And then from a management perspective, we've implemented what's called a central store that makes the whole process more efficient. It keeps our group policy objects more streamlined and thin. And then I guess lastly, there was a big improvement around network awareness. And when network state changes, how does group policy react? How does it refresh and what have you? We did publish a What's New in Group Policy for Windows Vista document that you can find up on the website, and there's a lot of great information in there.
Well, excellent. And also, I'd like to talk just a little bit about, you know, what is an ADM file? Maybe you can explain that a little bit more, Kevin.
Sure. So ADM is old school. This is essentially a text file. It's a Unicode text file, and it's used to describe to the administrative tool what is to be managed. And what's in the ADM file is essentially, it describes the registry-based policy settings and where they're stored in the registry. And it presents to the administrator a UI experience where they can simply open up a setting and say, enable this policy, and then move on. It maps to either HK local machine or HK current user, which is sort of important. Going back to a previous question, we talked about this idea of true policy. I have to put my data in the right place in order to have it react as policy, meaning if someone falls out of scope, my experience reverts back and we avoid this whole issue of tattooing systems and what have you. But anywhere in HK local machine or HK current user, I can set registry data through ADM. If it's not in the policy section, we refer to that as preferences. That means it would tattoo the system and it would stick around if a user fell out of scope of the group policy object. ADM, just to sort of summarize, this is how you would extend a group policy to sort of map to a specific need a customer may have. They can write a custom ADM template, import it into the administrative console, and now they can manage that data.
Well, great. And I know that you know ADM files are somewhat being replaced in Windows Vista and Windows Longhorn Server going forward. So let's talk just a little bit about what is an ADMX file as opposed to an ADM file.
Like I said earlier, this is essentially the evolution of ADM. We've sort of standardized on an XML format. So all of these files are in XML. They're very easy to read. Still, obviously, text file. And essentially, the big value here is that we have separated out the data being managed in the registry from the language for the client systems to interpret. So it really helps in multilingual environments when I load a console and I'm, you know, working in German and I choose to manage a bit of data through policy, I'm going to see it efficiently in that language. And the way these files are stored and communicated is much more efficient. We've implemented this central store, which I brought up earlier. So essentially, when I open up my console, instead of looking into the group policy object or looking on my local machine for the files that I need for the ADMX files, I go to another location in SysVol, which is the central store, and it's storing all of my data.
Great. So, you know, is it safe to say that if I had the right central store set up and I had multi-user languages, for instance, if I was using the French version of Windows and I was in Paris and I was using the English version of Windows and here in the U.S., and I made changes to group policy management, would those actual changes show up in their native language on the other side?
Absolutely. There is a requirement. So there's actually two files in ADMX land. There's the ADMX file, which is the core settings, and then there's the ADML file, and the ADML file is the language-specific file. So as long as the central store has the appropriate languages supported there, it doesn't matter what language you launch your editor in, it'll read from the appropriate location.
That's awesome technology. So what I want to do is just talk a little about, you know, the ADM files, right, in XP and going forward with Windows Server and Longhorn and Vista. Will the ADM files still be supported in Windows Vista?
Absolutely. So what we have today is the editor, the group policy object editor, and the GPMC are going to continue to work as they have. They'll recognize the ADM files that you have in your environment, specifically the custom ADMs, or an ADM that's not delivered by default, such as maybe Office or something. The tools are going to recognize the earlier ones that were included, such as system.adm, or they're not going to recognize those older ones because they've been superseded by the ADMX.
So okay, well, I'd be able to... That's great. Will I be able to copy the ADMX files to be used on current operating systems in the same manner as updates to the ADM files?
So you're going to be able to administer the settings affecting Vista and earlier operating systems from a Vista workstation. ADMX files are supported only on the Vista operating system. Copying those to earlier operating systems isn't going to have any effect, if that answers the question. There's a lot of data, or there are a couple documents up on the website, Administrative Templates Extension, the technical reference, and also there's a step-by-step guide to managing group policy with ADMX that's up there to get some good details on it.
Well, that's great, Kevin. So another question for you is, what are ADMX, and you talked a little bit about language-specific files, you know, what's the difference between ADMX and ADML files, and how do I go about using them?
To just clarify, and I know I briefly touched on this, it's really mostly invisible to the admin, but the ADMX file is, this is the registry key. These are the different knobs that are going to be exposed in the user interface and what have you. In ADM, there was a whole section of the bottom of the ADM file that had the language data or the strings, right? The data that actually is presented in the UI. All of that information has been removed and put into these ADML files. So now ADMX is going to pick up on your client language, and they're going to go call the appropriate ADML file and pull all of the strings or the resource data out of those ADML files to present you the appropriate interface, essentially.
So does that mean I can convert my custom ADM files to ADMX format? You know, how would I go about doing that?
You can. We have put together what's called the ADMX Migrator. You can select multiple ADMs. It provides an ADMX editor with a bit of a graphical interface for creating administrative templates. I can select settings from menus rather than entering them into a text file, which is what we got comfortable doing with ADM. It makes the whole process more efficient. You can download the ADMX Migrator right from www.microsoft.com/group policy. That's where you'd find all of the documents that I've referenced as well.
Well, that's great. That's great information, Kevin. I appreciate that. You know, I got another question for Jason. So Jason, can I apply group policy settings to a specific local user?
Sure, you can. Windows Vista actually provides two new layers of local group policy. So previously, there was just a single local group policy object for the machine, regardless of who's logged on. With Windows Vista, you can apply local group policy to local administrators or non-administrators, as well as specific local users. So these new layers really complement local computer policy. Multiple local GPOs provides much more granularity when managing shared workstations or kiosks, which are not joined to a domain.
So what are some of the best practices when using Windows Vista and group policy?
The group policy tools included in Windows Vista can manage group policy objects for Vista, Windows Server 2003, Windows XP, and even Windows 2000. It's best practice to continue to use the group policy tools included in Windows Vista after you've started to use them.
Excellent. So I know Kevin had mentioned earlier about the central store. Maybe you can go in a little bit more depth into what is the central store.
It's important to have the deeper conversation because it is such a major shift from how we've done things in the past. But essentially, a new folder is created in SysVol. And this folder is going to store all of the ADMX and ADML files for the entire domain. In the past, every time you created a GPO and managed data within the administrative template section of the GPO, all of the ADM files would be copied right into that group policy object. By default, you're talking about around 4 meg worth of files. So if I had one GPO, I have 4 meg in my SysVol. If I had 200 GPOs, and hopefully you can see what kinds of issues that we're dealing with there. So with a central store, I have the one location. The admins open up their console. They open up their editors, and it points to that central location. So it no longer has to store this data within the individual group policy object.
That's great, kind of reducing the amount of overhead there, right?
Absolutely.
So will the new Windows Vista features into the GPMC, I know that's natively built into the operating system now. Will those be available in an update to the current version of GPMC?
Yeah, you're going to be able to join a Vista workstation to the existing domain, And all of the new features within the GPMC are going to be in Vista. So you're going to need to run that tool from Windows Vista. So the GPMC is integrated directly into the Vista OS or a few of the major SKUs, Business, Enterprise, and Ultimate, and is the standard tool for managing group policy along with the editor that comes along with it. There's no plans to include the Vista features in the current GPMC downloadable. So currently you have GPMC Service Pack 1 that you can download from the site. We're not going to be updating that.
Okay. That's good information to know. And so Jason, question for you. Where are the resources to learn more about group policy?
A good starting point, as I mentioned earlier, would be the Microsoft Group Policy Tech Center. That's at www.microsoft.com/group-policy. You can view several different white papers there, as well as a variety of information on group policy, including a 14-part webcast series on the fundamentals of group policy. Finally, we'll be at the Microsoft Management Summit, or the MMS, in March in San Diego, as well as TechEd in June in Orlando. So stop by and visit us.
Yeah, well, I'd love to see you guys. You know, I'm here in Florida. Maybe I can pop up there into Orlando and check out TechEd and meet you.
Sounds great.
So I appreciate your time today, gentlemen. That concludes our discussion around group policy management, and I want to thank Jason and Kevin for joining us today. This is Blaine Barton. I'm an IT pro evangelist here in Florida, and I want to thank you for tuning in to the TechNet Radio broadcast.
Thank you.
Blaine Barton interviewing Kevin Sullivan and Jason Lesnick on TechNet Radio. So there are a ton of links if you'd like some additional resources on group policy, and those are up on our site, microsoft.com/TN Radio. Also, if you want to check out any group policy webcasts, the link for that is microsoft.com/events/series/grouppolicy.mspx, and you can find all group policy webcasts there. Now, here's Michael Murphy at Launch Tour 2007.
All right, and ladies and gentlemen, we are here with
Dan Kovacevic of Manhattan IT.
Ash Adnani, Computer Place.
Desmond Vassell, Desico Incorporated.
And gentlemen, how is your launch going today? What is the most exciting thing you have seen yet today?
It was all good. I really enjoyed everything. And, well, it was really pleasure to see and listen to Steve Ballmer. But also all sessions, like developer sessions, were just like one after another. Just you couldn't say which one was more exciting and interesting.
Oh, it was all exciting, of course. But the last one particularly was especially very interesting because I think it opens up a distributive computing. I mean, which I don't know.
Which session were you in?
The developer session where they showed the Dinner Now demo, and I'm wondering if you can apply to the entire supply chain. So let's say, for example, you ordered a dinner at some restaurant and they ran out of goat cheese, and so could they hook up the supermarket automatically and say, oh, whether they have a goat cheese nearby or some item like that.
Right.
So can this have a ripple effect? I mean, that leads into quite interesting distributive computing.
Well, I think, I mean, if the, I think that there's very real possibility to be able to do that, yeah. Des, how about you?
Well, the first thing that I was really impressed by was the crowd. No one really expected this. I think Microsoft kind of underestimated the crowd itself. But it was a good thing because the message is out and everyone is heeding to the message. So Vista is here, Exchange is here, and Office. And it seems as if everyone is really interested and want to see what's there to offer.
And what was exciting about what you saw today? I mean, besides the crowd.
Well, the thing that I was most impressed by was SharePoint. Okay, SharePoint just opened up a new avenue to everybody, you know, from the small business space up to the enterprise space, of course.
This is really a running theme today. I mean, this is what I'm hearing from everybody, right? And the question of integration and scalability.
Absolutely. Well, portals are not really a new technology. they've been around for some years. But at this point in time, it's obvious that portals are becoming like mainstream technology for web development. And Microsoft managed to take the market lead with SharePoint Portal. From what I've heard, they already have something like 55% market share, and they sold something like 75 million licenses. So they are obviously market leader already. And one of the main reasons, or probably the main reason, is because that it's like not only SharePoint Portal, but its integration with operating system, with Office systems, suite of products, and now Exchange Server. So slowly but surely we are getting to that like utility computing, which is like final frontier. And very few companies have strategy and vision of Microsoft that Microsoft has been pursuing for how many years? Like,
Since the beginning, exactly, right?
Yeah. So that's why Microsoft is winning. That's why like Microsoft will like prevail.
Just to be clear, folks, this gentleman does not work for the Microsoft Corporation, and he represents only his own views.
Absolutely.
Ash, do you have something to add to that?
The other thing very interesting was the user interface. I'm sure probably it's going to get even easier than this with lots of other hardware coming into play. But I thought the user interface and the arrow designs are awesome.
Nice. Des?
Well, actually, the user interface is something that we've all been familiar with, whether it be Outlook or IE. So it's nothing new. The learning curve is basically zero.
Even with the ribbon, you think so?
Well, with the ribbon, more or less. It's, no, there's no big deal, really. After a few times using it, a couple hours, it's there, you'll know it. I mean, of course, there'll be new features which you'll have to look for help and get that. But once you get a feature down, I mean, there's no real issue about learning it over a long period of time. Everything is there, fully accessible.
Do we think, gentlemen, that the ribbon exposes those features that users may not be aware of? Do we think it helps them to find them?
Absolutely. Again, like more than 10 years ago, at around 95, Microsoft had one group within Microsoft that was like doing user interface. As of a couple of years ago, they had 30 groups within the company that were developing user interface. Way back then, in 95, like, some people could argue, like, is Microsoft, like, as good as Apple? But today, I think, like, just today, we've seen that there are leaps and bounds ahead of everybody.
Again, the views expressed here are solely those of the person expressing them.
I just want to add to that. Along with the search capabilities, there is no reason why anyone should want to find something and can't find it. Okay? The ribbon just present a graphical presentation. Search will find anything you want. So it's sort of for prime time.
Another big relief is not necessarily knowing where anything is. I mean, that has been a nightmare.
For users especially.
For users, yeah. And not only users, and sometimes it's very difficult to find, even with the search that is there, because it gives you the files, but you can't find out files that contain something, not necessarily all kinds of files. You can find them in certain kinds of files. But to actually locate the exact file is really difficult. It cuts down the chase, and you just tell it, go find it, and there it shows. And that is awesome.
And, of course, that's all powered by the full-text indexed, right? Which is a superset of the Windows desktop search function, which is currently available as a download for Windows XP and Server 2003. Okay, final comments, final thoughts?
This was just like premium event. I would recommend it to everybody who
couldn't get in.
Yeah, and who is yet to like learn about these technologies.
It was a great crowded event.
Yeah. I would say anyone who has a chance to do it, download a trial copy of any of the software, whether it be Vista, Exchange, or Office, and just try it.
I don't think we actually have a trial Vista ready for download yet, but we will soon, I'm sure. I'm sure we will. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that was Michael Murphy at the Launch Tour 2007. To find an event near you, you can visit Microsoft.com/business/US Launch Event 2007. So we got some great feedback on last week's show, and I do want to thank you for that. Remember to drop me a line. Just email me at tnradio@microsoft.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. For everyone here at TechNet Radio, I'm Aurora Queen.
Have comments or want to request a story idea? Call us at 1-877-814-6506.